you be where you are had there not been a sex tape? When people say that your last marriage was a stunt, how does that make you feel?
Putting all the tough questions to Kim, Oprah sat down with the Kardashian kids to find out just how controlling their mum, Kris, really is.
When people say your mother is pimping her children.
I think that's so ridiculous because, first of all,
she's our mom.
We have to hire a manager. So regardless, someone is going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
No one will fight harder for you than your own mother.
Mm-hmm.
She knows us. She knows all of our...
Okay. I don't know what that startup video was. I actually had to listen to it, a little further, a little bit to get what it was, Kardashian crap. Welcome to Barbershop News Tonight, post-mortem edition of the 2009 election. I'm one of your hosts for the evening, Kay and me, joined by Chad Rivera and Hugo. How's it going, guys?
What's up, bro? What's going on? And morning, man, and morning.
Yes. The unexpected, but always in the back of our mind,
yeah.
But nonetheless unexpected. Happen.
Yeah, I think we're at the stage now that you have to kind of accept it because nothing else is going to change. So I guess you have to roll with it. You know, I mean, as much as you want to sit there bitch and complain, you could sit there bitch and complain, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change anything. So you might as well accept this.
Well, it's different. I gotta say, this is just, it's still not fully digested for me. I'm better about it. You know, I didn't stop any of my daily routine because of it. But
yeah, I was gonna tell you, Kimmy, it's gonna take a while. No one's saying that you're gonna forget it. You know what I mean? But I think you're now in a stage where it's hard to process, but I think you're learning to cope with it. And it's kind of like how we talk about in our shows of Sucker Free Radio, where, acceptance, sometimes you have to learn to accept things. And it's the same exact thing. You have to learn to accept the unfortunate events that are about to occur, or that have occurred, I should say, and that we're going to endure in the next 4 years, you know?
So what I'm going to do right now, we're going to get to everyone's opinions and Kia Nate, brother Nate Milton from Review and Impact Fame. The Sport, of course, with brother Marcus. All that stuff will be joining us here soon. But before we get into any of that stuff, let me just get into some actual factuals because I'm getting a lot of questions. I am a political science professor by trade, so this politics stuff is my bag. So let's get into some questions. Okay, the first question, frequently asked question I've been getting a lot, do the election results completely blow my stance on elections? This is more so for my students because I get a lot of questions about my lectures because I give a lecture on elections. And the answer is no, not really. It is what it is. There is a lot of evidence that actually support why Trump would have won, and we will get into that as the show progresses. Is Obamacare going anywhere? Know that it's not going anywhere because you need a 60-vote majority to repeal something like that. And there's enough Democrats on the Senate floor to make sure that that doesn't happen. But that bill is going to be getting stripped of a lot of parts, and a lot of people might lose out on Obamacare even though it's not going to go completely away. It's about to go down. Should we all be worried is the next question. What's up?
I wanted to ask you a question, actually, you know, to
well,
to,
let me
to
get through this, and then we'll do the questions and all that.
Okay, cool.
All right.
No worries, bro, sorry.
That's all good. Should we all be worried? We should not be worried. I'm not going to say head for the hills, but this is no time for games. It really isn't. And again, we're going to go through this as the show progresses. Is a wall getting built that Mexico will pay for? No, that's just ridiculous. Did Hillary get more votes than Donald Trump? Yes, she did. The Electoral College, again, we'll go through that as the show progresses. What did Hillary do wrong? I'm not even so much sure as to what it is she did wrong as much as it is just her as a candidate. And again, we'll go through this, her likability factor, and just not hitting the target states she should have hit. What did Trump do right? Trump was just in the right place at the right time. We need to chill on this Trump reach around he's getting. Trump is getting way more credit than he deserves for this, and I will explain my stance on that later. What about the Bradley effect? I've explained on this show, the last time I talked about the Bradley effect on this show was in 2012. The Bradley effect is what happens is when pollsters go to polls and say they're going to vote one way but vote another way. The Bradley effect has some effect on this, but the main difference between the Bradley effect and this is when Tom Bradley didn't win the mayoral seat, or the gubernatorial seat, rather, he lost by a landslide. Hillary didn't lose by a landslide. She lost by a few Electoral College votes. So that's the main difference. Is there anything Hillary can do to fight this? Yeah, but she probably shouldn't. What's done is done. Will Trump get elected to a second term? That really depends. Trump is going into office as an unpopular president, so something he's got going against him. We really don't know anything until after. We won't really know for a fact what he's going to be as president until his first few months in office. It's one of these things where you got to take a wait-and-see attitude. You can no longer preemptive strike. The preemptive strike would have been voting against them. And that's over and done with. So we got to just wait and see. Is there something wrong with the system? The system is working exactly the way it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to slice it, the system does need to be broken, though. And perhaps we'll get into that, too. Did sexism play a role in the election results? I kind of think that's kind of being real simplistic about it. The bottom line is Hillary did get more votes than Trump. So there's definitely people there that wanted to vote for her. Trump targeted the right people. There was low election turnout, and that hurt Hillary, and we'll get into that. But you know, it's the sexism thing is kind of like is being real simple about it. I really think that the country is past sexism, not in certain parts, obviously, but there was more to her loss than that. So with all that said, Hugo, you got the floor, man.
I just have a quick question for you, and it has to do with Obamacare, because I've been reading that is obviously his one of his first two things on President-elect Trump's agenda is to abolish Obamacare. Now, you obviously said that it takes a 60-40 majority vote for it to finally be repealed completely. And then I read an article today that I think over a million people signed up for Obamacare, because I think it's open enrollment right now, right, if I'm not mistaken? I think it's open enrollment where you could actually enroll. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So my question to you is, what kind of benefits, if it's going to start getting shredded, what kind of benefits would those people already with Obamacare lose?
Okay. Well, let's break this down in parts. So what happened? Oh, okay. Why Obamacare isn't getting repealed? Because like isn't getting repealed. Like I said, you need a 60 vote majority to do that. There's enough Democrats on the Senate floor to make sure that that does not happen. We have that going for us, so yippee. Now, the part of your question about millions of people have Obamacare, I would even venture to say there might be more than that. That's going to be an issue to get rid of it. Secondly, when you start taking these things out, it's going to – you can't – it'll take about 2 years to really strip this thing down to nothing, you know. You're not going to be able to do it within, like, by the end of 2017, you know. So it'll take a couple years. And where we're at now, basically, with Trump, the Republicans have the House, they have the Senate, they got Congress. We got to put up with 2 years of chicanery from Trump. There's no way of slicing it. It is what it is, man. Trump has got the power that he needs to do a lot of fuck shit for 2 years. What's got to happen now is we got to ride these 2 years out, and then in the midterm election, we get some Democrats, some Senate seats to knock out some of these Republicans. And then what's going to happen after that, by midterm elections, you're going to get a lot of bills written, and it's just going to be 2 years of Donald Trump vetoes. And then we got the 2020 election, and hopefully by then we'll be able to get rid of them. You get me? That's where we're at. We got to it's really a brace ourselves kind of thing, because this has never been done the way it's been done before with this Trump stuff, and people are still trying to come up with ways as to why he won, and it's really. It's not as complex as people want to make it out to be. I spent 8 hours in a think tank yesterday, and I really broke it down into real simple terms because the trends support it. He won because there was lack of Democratic support for Hillary. There were 7 million less registered Democrats voting this year than voted in 2012. We'll go over the trends in a second. But actually, let's go over the trends now. And I think we've got Nate here with us. And then I'm going to give you the floor here in a second, Chad. And then I'll tell you how the trends support a Trump presidency. But go ahead, Chad. Did you have anything you wanted to say about the day that will go on, darkest day in American history, November 8th, 2016?
I don't even know where to begin, to be honest. I mean, this is a day that – one of the days that I can say that I was ashamed to be an American. And I really haven't had a whole lot of those days. I'm sure, you know, obviously you guys, you know, KME and Nate with the racial injustice, obviously I can't. I mean, I'm not African American. I feel for it, but it's nothing that I've experienced, you know, to a personal level. But just with – with everything that's going, this whole election has the fallout of it. I just made me ashamed. It made us the laughingstock of the whole world, pretty much. That the leader of the free world is Donald Trump, a former reality TV star, and I can't even sum it up.
I've never been ashamed to be an American until November 8, 2016. I can honestly say that. I've never been ashamed to be an American. There have been times where I've kind of ducked my head a little bit being African American with, you know, homeboys in outer space. And then just the UPN network in general in the 90s, but, you know, that was something I lived through. No problem. This is different, man. This is shameful, as, you know, being an American and knowing that this is what your country represents. It's a shame. But, you know, we can rest on this. The country is still liberal. It's more liberal now than it's probably ever been. But we got issues and prioritizing issues that we got to work on. But let me go through. We're going to go through all the presidencies from our lifetime, at least, and just go through that. We're not going to go through all of them. We'll start in the 90s, to be fair. So we'll go with 1992. That was the year the incumbent George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, lost to Bill Clinton. So this election, he got Bill Clinton won the popular vote, and he won the Electoral College. He won by a landslide in both. The election was called before it even got to the West Coast. Huge voter turnout. 96, again, election called before it got to the West Coast. Huge voter turnout. Clinton won. 2000, low voter turnout. George Bush won, and he was a Republican, and we all know about the chicanery that went on in Florida, but low voter turnout, and Bush took it. 2004, same thing, low voter turnout, the Republican, Bush took it again. 2008, high voter turnout, Obama took it. 2012, high voter turnout, Obama took it. 2016, where we're at today, low voter turnout, Trump took it. So you see what happens when Democrats don't vote. When we don't vote, we lose. Because and that was my thing with this election, too, was I knew Hillary was in trouble, and we will talk about this on the Facebook chat. But the minute they were still too close to call for Philadelphia, and it was 9 p.m. my time, I was like, okay, let's just face the facts that she lost this thing. Because she really, this election should have been over at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Pacific time, my time, 11 o'clock your time. I should have been able to go out, chill with my girlfriend, get some drinks, come home, you know, do whatever, and I was not able to do that because Hillary was losing the election. I mean, it's sad, really, but, you know, that's the lay of the land. And right now we are joined by brother T.N. Nate Milton from King of Sports, from Review and Impact, Keeping It 100, all that law stuff. How's it going, Nate?
Hey, what's going on, brothers? We are through the looking glass.
Yes, we are. So what's the mood in Virginia, man? Virginia is now – this is three elections in a row you guys are a blue state, right?
Yeah, I think Virginia is solidly – I wouldn't go as far as to say it's – solidly blue, but it is definitely purple. Like, it's not a Republican stronghold anymore.
We call the when it's red and blue, it's purple. I used to live in Virginia. I lived in Harrisonburg for a long time. There's definitely a lot of racial diversity in that area, especially now, it's more so than it was when I was a kid. I do appreciate the work Hillary did in these states, but it's just do you have a theory as to why these counties and these really pick towns in all these rural areas that voted for Obama in 2012, turned on her in 2016. Do you pin it down to anything, Nate?
I think it's a couple things. I think you got the Clinton thing, which does carry baggage. Like, you know, that Clinton name is a blessing and a curse when it comes to politics, because
yeah.
You'll have just as many people that ride for her as, you know, the haters out there. So I think that's one thing. The other thing, though, Chris, is I think people just didn't see Hillary as being able to relate to them, you know, and whether these people that voted for Obama in 2012, whether they agree with his policies or not, I think you can relate to Barack Obama, even if you don't agree with his politics. Whereas with Hillary, I think she's obviously, you know, one of the most qualified candidates we've ever seen, but she just doesn't connect with people.
Yeah, I definitely get the not connecting with people thing. I've always liked Hillary. Even in 2008, I liked Hillary. I didn't like her as much as Obama, but I liked her. I always thought she would be a capable leader. And if Obama would have lost the primaries in 2008, I would have had no problem getting behind her. I like a lot of the stuff that she did while she was a senator. I like a lot of the stuff she did as Secretary of State. She's a big part of why the Dream Act exists. She's a big reason why mental health in this country gets treated like a real disease. She's done so much. And I don't think enough people care to do research on her or just like her enough to even give her the benefit of the doubt. But she's definitely a champion and a warrior for the rights of people, you know. But as you said, the likability just isn't there, and it's gonna be hard when people hate one. There's one adage that rings true. I thought this election it didn't matter, but it does. They have to like you. They can't just hate the other person. For you to win elections, you have to be liked. You don't think Hillary had that.
Well, one of the things I thought about, Chris, and I don't know how you would feel about it, but I thought Hillary's campaign was aspirational. Like, it was a great, you know, role model for the country and for young women especially. But I don't think she was ever inspirational. You know what I mean? Like, even at her own convention. Like, I don't think she ever really got people stirred up like, yo, this who we riding with. At every turn, it was like she was getting upstaged by the opening act, whether it was President Obama or Michelle or Elizabeth Warren or even Joe Biden. It's like, yo, we can't run.
That could be, you know, we are definitely Monday morning quarterbacking at this point. But, yeah, that all those things are valid. You know, nothing right now is invalid. But I think, like with me, you, I think with most of us, I think we're kind of simplifying this a little bit more than a lot of the news outlets are. I think the news outlets are, you know, they want to attribute it to, oh, the country's still sexist, or, oh, you know, the white people came out in droves and this and that and the other thing. And that's true, but the bottom line is this. If that was Obama, it wouldn't have mattered how many of them came out. A lot of them probably would have even voted for Obama. Hillary Clinton was not liked by people. She just wasn't. And it came back to bite her in the ass. Donald Trump is hated. He's going into office as an unpopular president. he's got 279 electoral college votes. That's not popular. He lost the popular vote. Second time this happened to Democrats. We'll talk about the electoral college in a second. But again, it goes back to Hillary. She just did not strike a nerve. Obama, that charisma, that aura, that something, that oomph that Obama has, that's innate in him, he could not transfer that over to Hillary. And that's what this election proves. Any thoughts on this, Hugo?
Which, Sam, sorry. Yeah. I apologize. I had you on mute. I had you on mute for just a second. What were you saying again? I apologize.
No, I said about Hillary's charisma and not being able to connect with people.
Well, like what do I think about it? I mean, it's every time that I saw like, for example, her campaigning, like something was missing, and I thought to myself, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't want to sound sexist, and I really don't want it to, because at all I am not sexist, but was this country truly ready for a female president? Like, will we accept her because she is a female president, or she was a potential to be a female president? Because there was just something about her that lacked. Like, she didn't have what Obama had, even to a certain degree. Al Gore did back in 2000, KME, where he had something. So could it be also the fact that she was a woman? Could that also come into factor with her?
Well, that's what – she has to be news outlets are saying. I would be able to concede that point a lot easier if she didn't win the popular vote. More people in this country voted for her than Donald Trump. So if it was because she was a woman, that would just, you know, that to me, that's like writing it off as, you know, whatever. She couldn't get the votes of rural America. Maybe her womanhood or femininity or lack thereof hurt her with small town America, but I just have a hard time saying that this country is not ready for a woman. I just think that Hillary might not be the right woman. You got any thoughts on that, Chad?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you said, KME. I think that America is ready for a woman president, but unfortunately, the people weren't going to have Hillary Clinton. I think it's just because the thing that was lacking, I think, was her way to connect with the American people. She had her supporters, you know, the people that were ride and die Hillary or ride and die Democrat that were going to be with her. But I don't think she was able to cross the line and try to get some of the people that were undecided over to her side. You know, you have people that were following everything Trump was saying. He was going, you know, up in Michigan, we could see he was going to Detroit and he was saying, we're going to get your jobs back. And he was, you know, they fell for the pitch, but Hillary, I don't think she was able to connect, and it could be the Clinton name. You know, maybe they thought she is of this upper echelon family. She can't relate to what we're going through, our struggles. I don't think she just wasn't able to grab those people and bring them over to her side effectively. She doesn't have that aura around her that someone like Barack Obama, when he speaks, you're drawn to him and you can feel what he's saying.
Yeah.
Hillary didn't have that when she was speaking.
I'm with you on that. What about you, May? What do you think of the female fact when it comes to Hillary? How much do you think that played into this election?
I think it played a part, but it wasn't the major factor. Like, I think there's always going to be elements of sexism or racism or, you know, homophobia and stuff like that that's going to be out there, you know, because that's never – I don't think that's ever going to go away in America, not completely. But I agree that I think people liked what she was, but they didn't like who she was, if that makes any sense. Like, I think her message actually resonated, but the messenger was not the right vessel. And so, Trump had a terrible message, but he was the right messenger to tap into a lot of that anger and that frustration.
Yeah,
you know, he
knew
how to cut a promo, man.
Yeah, no, seriously, I haven't heard it put like that, but that sums it up, man. It's like, Hillary Clinton was delivering a great message. She even admitted on the campaign trail herself that she's actually, her strengths are when she gets the job and actually doing the job. Her strengths don't come, she's not a campaigner. That's never been her strength. That's never been something she's good at. And I'm with you. I think, of course, there's some element to the female factor. Of course, sexism is alive and well in 2016. It ain't going anywhere. But I thought that there were enough people that, like, keep in mind, this wasn't a close election. That's why I can't give into the, oh, she's the sexist stuff. This was an election that came down to a few electoral votes, you know, 218 to 279. This should have went the other way. Hillary Clinton, they wanted to win this thing by a landslide, except instead they barely lost it. The Republicans didn't win. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats lost, and I think that's kind of what's a hard pill for a lot of us to swallow right now. So what I want to do right now, if you guys don't mind, Nate, if you want to stick around, we would love it. I'm going to go to a song, go to Red Hot Chili Peppers' Higher Ground song, redo of the Stevie Wonder song, because we need some Higher Ground about now. And we'll be right back. All right, guys, that's Red Hot Chili Peppers with Higher Ground. Welcome back to Barbershop News tonight. I was talking to Mike earlier this week. We're going to probably have to make Barbershop News tonight a regular fixture again. The reason why is because I can't have this in 2020. we gotta mobilize a lot better. We really do. I do not like the way people made this election out to be a joke. I always took it seriously, and I always knew that this thing was, you know, could turn out like this. I was hoping that it wouldn't, but I knew in the back of my mind that it could. We have 2017 to deal with, and we're going to have a lot of a lot of stuff to atone for as a country. We need to prep for that. And that's all. That's my little rant on that. Now that we're back, Chad mentioned something during the break, we need to talk about this. And that's the third party factor, and what role they played. There were a lot of states, Florida being one of them, where someone like Gary Johnson got 3% of the vote, and the difference between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is like 3%. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of those, that whole 3% would have went to Hillary, because maybe some of it went to Trump, but it did play a spoiler factor. I have thoughts on third party candidates, but I'm gonna let you guys go first, and then I'll share my thoughts. So go around the room, Chad. Man, this is your topic, man. That you, I had it on the list, but I forgot about it. But what do you say, man?
I've always thought third party candidates. I mean, it would be great to have a system where there's more than just two legitimate options to choose for presidents. But for right now, and especially in a situation like this, it's just a way to throw your vote away more than any year ever, I think. I mean, obviously, we knew that Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, what have you, was not going to win. And with something that close, and when we have Donald Trump on the other side, Hillary needed all the votes she needed. I understand you might not like Hillary, but when you have Trump and the future that is going to come with this country under a Trump regime, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to support Hillary when it goes with, you know, when it comes down to that. The people that I've had that wanted to vote for Gary Johnson, I've seen because they wanted that 5% of the government funding. That's why the big thing that they fell on that I saw. But even that, with a third-party candidate, they didn't get that in this election. And if they're not going to get that in this election, I don't think they ever will. But the third party, I just don't understand why someone with the circumstances this high, why they would just vote on a Gary Johnson, especially when the guy's an imbecile. He doesn't know any of the foreign leaders and he's had his pants pulled down multiple times throughout this whole election process. Why they would want to get behind an idiot like that?
Yeah, and Jill Stein isn't much better, but Gary Johnson is the idiot that made it off all 50 states. you got anything to say about?
Yeah, man. I went off of some people. I'm like, you know what? Your vote could count. Okay. So basically, people are sitting there and bitching because Donald Trump is the president, and then they obviously had their dislike towards Donald Trump and to Hillary Clinton before the general election. They said they're going to go ahead and vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. Take your choice. But then, as the results started coming in, I don't know if you guys got this, but I got it on my timeline, and I got it on Snapchat, and I got it on Instagram. Those same idiots that voted for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson coming out and saying, well, Donald Trump is going to be our president. We can't have this. Well, who in the fuck made you fucking vote for damn Gary Johnson then? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Do you have a brain? Do you honestly have a brain? And on top of that, also, to the people that decided to vote for a damn dead gorilla like Harambe that made 1,000 votes apparently nationwide, as well as Matt fucking Hardy and Ric Flair, that you decided to do it, and then you sit there and bitch because Donald Trump is your damn president?
Woo!
Come on, man. Let's be honest. This is not a joke. And now you want to sit there and actually bitch because Donald Trump is going to be your damn president? Then you should have done the right thing and voted who you thought the better candidate was going to be and not for some stupid idiocy. With people that voted stupidly, what you get.
Yeah, they turned the process into a joke. I saw it from everybody, man. I was especially upset with certain black folks online that were saying it doesn't matter who you vote for and this and that, and just posting a bunch of nonsense that's not supported by any kind of fact. It was conspiracy theory nonsense. It was annoying. It really, as someone who prides himself in being an intellectual, or from that community or from a political science background, someone who's worked years in the courts, someone who's worked in advertising, it hurt my heart to see the stupidity of people in this process. Nate, man, you got anything on the third parties?
Oh, I feel what y'all are saying, but I think I might have to flip the script a little bit, fellas. I definitely agree that if, in this election, if you voted for a third party, you definitely wasted your vote. But I think the idea of a third party is something that is not, you know, back in the day, I voted for Nader in part to kind of get them to that 5% threshold. But, like, I think also on a side note, if Pence were at the top of the ticket and Gary Johnson were just kind of the bumbling sidekick, I think they would have done a lot better. Not Pence, well. But the people I'm most angry about, even though I'm frustrated with the people that voted for the third-party candidates, are the 46% of the people like your man Colin Kaepernick that didn't even vote, didn't even get in the game,
didn't even
go to practice, you know what I'm saying? Because to me it's like, yes, Hillary and Trump were not the best candidates, but at the same time, if like almost half the country says I'm not going to be part of it, you know, you get the election that you get the government you show up for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and those people that don't vote are going to be the ones that are most vocal on Facebook and Twitter, you know, bitching about the outcome of this election.
Yeah, and this is what I got to say about third-party candidates. Like I said, this is one of my lectures. I personally believe that there should be a law that if you're a third party candidate, and you got to be in it to win it, man. If you're running for president to play the role of spoiler or to do some kind of nonsense to just, you know, put a glitch in the system or whatever, glitch in the matrix, I'm not down with that. I'm just not. I want you, if you're going to run as a third party, get your shit in order as much as you can, because you're not going to get funding from a major party because you are a third party candidate. Go the grassroots route the way Jesse Ventura did when he ran for governor in Minnesota. Get your money right, and then come and run a legitimate race. Start putting on infomercials now. It's 2016. You got till 2020 to mobilize and get your name out there. I think you got to be in it to win it. I don't like this idea of, oh, let me come here and be and play the spoiler. You know, it's like you're on a date with a date with Halle Berry, with 1992 Halle Berry, and she's got her big ugly friends there, you know, that don't even care about you and her, and they know that you might be a good guy, but they're there to block, just to block, you know. That's how I look at third party candidates.
Honestly, I feel you on that, but also if that's gonna happen, the system has to change, because part of the issue is the debates. You know what I mean? Not that the debates did a whole lot of good in this election, because all three of us saw the debates. All four of us saw the debates, and we saw, you know, receive those debates. But I think, you know, if and I agree, these have to be serious candidates, not, you know, joke candidates or, you know, the rent's too damn high, brother. You know, none of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But you got to also let them, you know, be on the stage so we can hear what they got to say.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is just the debate system has to change. And just the rules need to change. Bernie Sanders, for all of his faults, I didn't hate Bernie Sanders, but I wasn't drinking the Bernie Kool-Aid. But for all of his faults, he came to play. He got on the Democratic ticket, and he ran in the Democratic primaries. He came up short to Hillary because that was just destiny. It was going to happen. But the man came to play. I got respect for that. I don't have respect for you, Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. This is both your second fucking time doing this. And and you're getting less votes than you got the first time, and all you're doing is playing spoiler. You got no real plans for anything. It's an ego thing for these guys, and it's annoying for me. You know, I don't really see an upside to cats like that running for office. And maybe it'll be explained to me one day in a way that'll make sense to me. But like I said, knowing the rules, knowing DeVerger's law and how America operates when it comes to two parties, anything else is just confusing, especially the way the system is set up with lack of funding, you know, lack of airtime, no money for advertisement. It's not set up for three parties. And maybe it should be differently, but right now it is what it is. Excuse me for the rant.
I think part of the problem with that, Chris, is there's no single independent party, quote unquote. Like, it's all these little splinter groups, all these NWO Hollywoods, NWO Red and Blacks running around. Like, there needs to be one major independent party. Like, I think if there was a way to kind of get that together, then you could have a better case.
Yeah, it's like the LWO, the BWO, the WWO, the wide NWO. Yeah, it really is, man.
I can't vote for you, Virgil.
Yeah. Okay, so I really do. The internet's a gift and a curse. It's a gift because it connects so many people. We're all connected by the internet. We wouldn't know each other if it wasn't for the internet. And it does a lot of good. Social media does a lot of good, but it also does a lot of bad because you've got this movement of just idiocracy where people are just bragging about not being able to vote or not wanting to vote, bragging about not participating in the political process. And I'm never been one of those vote or die people. If you don't want to vote, fine. I got no problems with it. What I do have a problem with is you bragging about it. You know, I've got a problem with you repping, like, not voting. You know, to me, it's just grandstanding for no reason. It's like those atheists that, you know, it's not enough for them to be atheists. They got to, you know, make fun of people that believe in God. These not voting idiots are to me. It's not cute. It's not funny. But you know what? It's the world we live in, and the internet gives everybody a voice. That's why people like, you know, Powers can be a flat earther and get other idiots to jump on the movement. It is what it is. But okay, so we've exhausted that topic. I need to catch my breath for a second. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to another song, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk about 2020, and then we'll wrap this thing up for the night. Thanks, Mother Nate, for sitting in with us. But, yeah, let's just get this going, man. We'll be back.
Blue.
Love that AJ Styles theme, but they really do need to add some verses to that shit. It's like it was constantly looping the same thing. But anyway.
You know what's crazy, Chris?
What's that?
Like, that's probably the song that everybody that voted for Trump had running in their head when they went to the polls on Tuesday. Oh, they don't want us.
Yeah. I could totally see it. So anyway, now we're going to jump and talk about Bernie Sanders and this notion that he would have beaten Hillary. The thing with that is, young people did galvanize. They did gather up and they voted for Bernie. They got him far, and he actually did push Hillary Clinton a lot more left than she normally was. So he deserves some credit for that. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't. It wasn't even close in the primaries. He lost that. Just got to call it what it is. So you can't really say, oh, if he would have won, he would have beat Trump, because he didn't even make it past the primaries, and the primaries weren't fixed or anything like that. He just didn't get past it, man. And I like Bernie Sanders. He's going to do a lot of good work on the Senate. Unfortunately, you got Trump as president. So, that's where we're at.
Hugo, anything? Yeah, man, my biggest concern about Bernie Sanders is not Bernie Sanders himself, his actual supporters. And I don't know where the hell they get this, that if Bernie Sanders would have actually made the election, he would have won it, where his supporters that supposedly put him all high and mighty didn't even show up to the polls in the primary. So how do, like, is there actual facts? Is there actual polls? Is there anything that shows that Bernie Sanders is going to beat like Donald Trump? Hell no. It's just them once again coming out saying, we told you so, that she wasn't good enough, and that she is corrupt, and yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, you guys didn't come out and actually voted for your guy in the first place. So you can't sit there and bitch that says that Bernie Sanders couldn't beat Donald Trump. I don't even think he would have beaten Donald Trump, KME.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, they really didn't vote in droves for Bernie and get him to the ticket. You know, that it, you know, if you want to blame somebody for that, you blame yourself.
No,
you can't really
blame. One more question about Bernie Sanders, though, and then because I'm sick and tired of actually talking about him because of his supporters. It's the supporters that make me just want to dislike the guy. But my question about Bernie Sanders is this, like, we're talking about third-party candidates. Can he made it in as a third party, as an independent, like he actually is an independent?
He actually is an independent, but the thing about it, I understand what he was trying to do when he ran as a Democrat. It made sense. He wanted to get some more socialistic things put into office. You know, these drug laws are absolutely ridiculous. He wanted to fix that. You know, Wall Street's getting fat off of poor people. He wanted to fix that. He wanted to do a lot of things, and he knew he couldn't win as an independent, and it would be a waste of time. So he ran as a Democrat. Like I said, he came to play. But it's just Hillary, you know, this was Hillary's race to win. And it really is as simple as that, man. Any thoughts on feeling the burn, Nate? And were you a Bernie supporter originally, Nate?
Yeah, in terms of the Democratic primaries, I was Team Bernie. I dug his message and, like you said, what he was trying to do. But once it became apparent that he wasn't going to win, you know, like, okay, you know, we still got to ride for the party. I don't know if he could have beat Trump. Like, it's possible. Anything is possible. I mean, we're talking here tonight with Donald Trump as the president-elect. So anything is possible. I don't know how probable it would have been. I think with Bernie, though, you get that enthusiasm gap maybe that Hillary didn't have, but you also don't get the quote unquote scandals or the, you know, the Republican machine. Cause this is like, this whole thing was so big because it not only was Republicans versus Democrats. It not only was Trump stirring up this base of white voters that felt they was disenfranchised, but this was a blood feud against the Clintons by the Republican Party. Like, if they were going to lose to anybody, it damn sure wasn't going to be another Clinton.
True that, man. Very, very true.
I also think Bernie might have connected better with that white male vote, too. You know, the people that the white males that didn't want anything to do with Hillary Clinton, you know, whether it be a sexist thing or they just didn't like her. I think Bernie might have swung those votes over to the Democratic side than, you know, Trump, where they obviously went with Trump instead.
I agree. I do think that aspect of it could have helped in the general election. How much I just do not know. I still like harken back to that SNL sketch where Larry David was doing Bernie Sanders, Curb Your Enthusiasm style, and that was just real hard for me to shake. But anyway, so let's go ahead and fast forward to 2020 and what needs to happen. What we as Democrats need to do. We as reasonable Democrats, liberals of sound mind that want progression for this country, that want to see us upwardly mobile, what do we do? Who do we nominate? What names do we need to start getting out there now in the public lexicon? So by the time they're going up against Trump, we take this thing and we take it and make it look easy. So any names you want to throw out there, I'm going to start. As evidenced by my Facebook page, if you're my friend on Facebook, facebook.com/KRISEALY, my top pick is Kamala Harris. I really do believe that a woman needs to run in 2020. I think a woman needs to be on the main ticket because I really want this sexism nonsense to stop. The talk of it like it's impossible for a woman to be president in our lifetime. Actually, after these past couple of days, I actually want to see a woman be president. Before, I was like cool with the woman being president, but now I actually want, that's something I want to see. So Kamala Harris is my top pick. I love her. I think she just got elected to senator. She just got elected into senator. She's very pretty, very easy on the eyes. She's married to a white man, and I don't think that'll hurt her. I actually think that would help her. And she's really good on policy, man. She's done a lot of good things in California in her previous office. So I like her. I like Gavin Newsom. A very good mind, good person to follow on Facebook to get a lot of good, thoughtful opinions. Cory Booker, got to mention Cory Booker. He's really good, another black man. That's good. And then there's a few others. I'm going to pull up my list because I made a list for my class, but those are my top three with Kamala Harris being the very, very top. Nate, did you have anybody you're looking at in 2020?
Yeah, I like Harris. I think Booker's good. Elizabeth Warren might be an outside shot.
Yeah, she's good, yeah.
I really like I think, and this is going to sound crazy coming from, you know, us, but I think that they really need to have a balance of somebody that's kind of pushing the boundaries and progressing us forward. But also I think that, you know, it can't be a black guy and a woman on the same ticket. You know, it can't be two black guys. It can't be two women. There needs to be kind of that can relate to the white male voter, because you're still going to need them to win a national election. And so, you know, I think in terms of like VP candidates like Tim Kaine, Martin O'Malley, to me, those are some guys I would still have on the roster just to be, you know, tag team partners to rural America's fears. You know, like, hey, we still got one of y'all in the house.
Right, right. And let's also mention Julian Castro out of Texas, too. He's somebody that I'm going to be looking at as well. And you bring up a solid point, Nate. You might want to – it might be good to do that balance, but in a similar fashion to the way Obama did it as well. Chad, you got anybody you're looking for in 2020?
You pretty much named everybody on top of my list before. I think that the Democratic Party should also use age as a factor. Go with someone younger, someone that can connect. I think instead of having the older, because I think having the two older voices, with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, just have the complete opposite of what we're doing. So I think Cory Booker, Castro, I think that would be good, especially trying to rally some of the Hispanic vote. The ever-increasing Hispanic population in America, if he can get that demographic out to vote, he could be good for that. But other than that, the only other person I could think that might be running, maybe Andrew Cuomo, just because he could be good. He's pretty progressive. He does he supported the $15 minimum wage. He's with social issues like gay marriage, he's behind that, where I think he's far enough, far enough left to speak to that. But I think Cuomo could be good as well.
Right, right, right. Who are you looking at in 2020, Hugo?
You basically said everyone. I was going to say Cuomo, so thank you for that, Chad. The only thing with Cuomo is the corruption scandals, though, that from his age that happened about a year ago or so. So other than that, I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I was actually also reading an article, really, KME, saying who could be the top five. You guys named them all, but there was another one here that to me seems ludicrous,
but maybe possible. How about a first lady in 20? Maybe not 2020, but maybe in 2024, 2028. Could she be also on the running?
Yeah.
No, you said Michelle.
Michelle Obama.
The problem is she is not someone that likes being in office. That's if you ever watched this documentary called The Choice 2012, it's a documentary on Obama and Clinton. Obama and Mitt Romney. She's just never been like one of those people that love the political spotlight. She became first lady more and more, she embraced it more, but that I don't really know if she wants to be on the campaign trail like that again. I would love it because she does have the qualifications for it, but I'm just not sure that's something she wants to do. Because one of the things we do need somebody. Especially if you're a Democrat, you need somebody who loves the job. Nothing else is gonna, or who's gonna want the job? Nothing else is gonna survive. You don't hear what you said?
Nothing.
We're good. So anyway. So that was 2020. We got those choices. We named pretty much our top picks. And what we like, that's I think what we just got to do now, guys. And we just got to spread the word. We all have our shows. I write my articles. I teach. We got to spread the word on these guys, and make 2020 interesting. And, put the Democratic, make the Democratic Party as strong as it's ever been. One of the good things that we have going for us is the Republican Party is still in disarray and is still on life support. So, that's something we've got going for us.
Do you think there will be backlash for, you know, guys like Paul Ryan from Donald Trump? Do you think we'll see that vengeful side come out, or do you think they're going to try to play nice for a little while?
No, if Paul Ryan still has a job after 2017, I'll be very, very surprised. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it, too. I think Trump is going to try everything in his power to take him down.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about Ryan, he still has guys that like him in the party, but I just don't see him and Trump staying together. You know, he was one of the main guys that turned on Trump when Grab Him by the Pussy Gate came out. So, it is what it is, man. So, with that said, I'd like to thank the panel, and I love Nate for joining us. It's been real, man. You want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me on the show. Good to talk to you fellas, as always. And remember, everybody, be cool, because progress is a process. So this ain't over just because Trump's in office. But you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Like Chris said, I'm on the Kings of Sport with Marcus Vandenberg from Yahoo Sports. You can check that out every week. I've got Review America through Live Audio Wrestling and the Fight Network, and we're going to have a hell of a show this week with myself and Brian Mann. And I've got a new Luke Cage podcast for anybody that watched the Netflix series, which now seems more poignant than it did when I first watched it, considering the events of the week. I got a Luke Cage podcast called Always Forward, and you can check that out as well. So, as long as I still had the ability to talk on the mic, Chris, I'm going to be talking on the mic somewhere until they shut it off.
All right, awesome, man. Awesome. So I want to close by just telling everybody things are going to be okay. We are going to have a rough couple years. It's the nature of the beast when you have a Republican with three branches of government in his control. But things do not have things do not have to be this doom and gloom situation that there is. It's a bad example for America when you raise your children not to bully, when you've got, you know, the NBA and NFL and WWE with, you know, be a star, don't bully, you know, don't, you know, watch sexual harassment, no homophobic stuff, all this and that. But then you got this guy who made it to the top office in the country and got by bullying people, by stealing people, stealing from people, taking their money with Trump University, sexual harassment, every type of trickery in the book, and he's top of the world. But trust me when I tell you guys, the bill is coming due on Trump. It is, because it comes due on everybody. It came due on Bush. It came due on Obama. It came due on Clinton. Trump is going to – the bill will be coming due on him, man. And we just got to keep the faith and go forward and spread the word on these candidates. These people that we're liking now, make sure we get their names out there so in 2020 they have a smooth trip to the White House. And we got to also hope that Trump does the right thing while he's in the White House. We know it's probably not going to happen, but we got to at least keep our eyes on the prize. And with that, I think this has been a wrap, and we're going to leave and do what we got to do for the night and check Nate out this weekend. What you got? What shows are you doing this week, Hugo?
Well, we got the Soul of Sports tomorrow. It is Lock It Up Friday at 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1340 AM and the BDSIR Network. We got the Hour of Power and Sports Saturday. And I believe Michael Grant's Smack Talk Center as well on Saturday at 12 o'clock. And that's basically it.
All right, cool. Well, what about you, Chad? You got anything going?
No, other than this podcast, I'm just hanging out. But, you know, keep the faith. That, like KME said, that's what we got to do. Keep the faith, spread the word, and just stay strong.
All right, cool. So we leave you tonight with Cameo Word Up. And have a great evening, you guys. Again, thank you, Nate. You got to do this more often. And we are out of here. Peace.